Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. When you find it, you can stand for reverence to the reading of God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start in verse number 1. We'll read down just a little ways here. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have once again to meet in your house, and for everybody that came out tonight. And Lord, I pray for our preacher tonight as he's away and preaching. I pray that you just help him and fill him with your power. Lord, I pray for Brother Reiser as he's on vacation this week. Just be with him also. Lord, I pray that you just fill me with your power tonight. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you just use me. Help me to only say what I should say. Help this to be just kind of a reset button for us all, including me, Lord. And just thank you for your love for us. I pray that you just be glorified in everything that's said and that's done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I talked about, or last time I preached, I talked about the Holy Ghost. When one of the other, if you remember, I was talking about the deacons in the New Testament church, and one of the attributes of the deacons was being full of the Holy Ghost. Well, one of the other attributes of the New Testament church was they were full of faith. And I'm going to touch on that just a little bit tonight, and I kind of feel unworthy to do that because there's so many in here tonight that, you know, I believe you've got much more faith than probably I'll ever have. You know, you've seen God do things, but I just want to go through this, and I guess what kind of triggered this in my mind was several years when I was in college. I did a teen class in my last year of college and in church, and you know, you preach truths to the teens, you know, the things that they should do and things that they shouldn't do, and you know, they're just sitting there with this like deer caught in the headlight look, you know, what, oh my goodness, I got to do all these things, and I got to, you know, have these standards in my life, and you know, and you can kind of tell in their face, and then you'd have a couple of the more sincere ones come up, and they'd say, "Brother Chad, why should I do this? What's the benefit?" You know, you have this with your bus kids. You know, you want them to do what's right, but then you try to show them, well, what's the benefit of us doing what's right? And honestly, when they come up to me and ask me, I was like, I don't know. Because everything that we're taught and everything that we believe as Christians, honestly, folks, we accept all of that by faith. I mean, I have to have faith that what preacher told me when I was growing up in high school you know, I had to have faith that that's what the Bible said. I had to have faith enough to believe it, to follow that with my life. All right? Because if you don't have faith, you know, faith is a substance. And this is the first, you know, if you read the first three verses of Hebrews. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Honestly, folks, way over my head, those first three verses. So I'm glad God spent the rest of chapter 11 giving us an illustration of what faith was. Because I don't understand faith, to be quite honest with you. I mean, how can a person, it's just given by God, but how can a person trust in something they completely do not see? All right? But every one of us, if you think about it, every one of us to a certain extent exercises faith. You're exercising faith right now. All right? And I'll explain that in a little bit later. But what kind of brought this up is, you know, since I started working here at church, you know, I worked construction some, and I've worked farming some, and, you know, I've got all these people coming up to me, and they're like, hey, Chad, what are you doing now? Well, I work at the church. I'm on the full staff of the church. And to most people, honestly, if you tell them that you work at a church and you're on full-time staff, that's another thing that just goes way over people's heads, because they don't understand that. They don't understand why I give my life to do something, Brother Joe. You know, they don't understand why you give your life to do something for God. All right? And people don't, you know, people just don't understand that. I started thinking, why do I do this? Because I have to have faith that God wanted me to do this and God chose me to do this. And so I have to take a step of faith in order to do that. So that kind of what brought this about. So we're going to look at just a few things. I should have you out here fairly quick tonight. I'll try to talk slower. My wife last time told me I talked really, really fast. So I'll try to talk slower. I can guarantee it's going to do anything, but we'll... In fact, while I was reading, I was like, I got to slow down this, because this is the only part I'll probably talk slow in. So, all right. Faith is something we cannot fully understand. And I wrote down three things about faith that I believe that are true. And according to the Bible, I believe that they're true also. Faith is believing something you cannot see. Okay? You know, and there's a lot of things we can't see that we obviously believe in. I can't see God, but I believe in God. Okay? You know, I can't see air, but I believe there's air. You know, I can't see the universe, but I believe that there is a universe. You know, there's a lot of things we can't see, but we take by faith as accepting those things as being real. My daughter Emily, you know, it's amazing how the Bible correlates the faith of a child and how faith of a child is so much like the faith we need. You know, she trusts me even though she doesn't see me. All right, in fact, I let her fall off the deck the other day. That was kind of a bad thing. You know, that was faith unfounded, I guess is what that was. But you know, she trusts that. You know, she'll come. Somebody will be chasing her, and we like playing, and somebody will be after her, and I'm gonna get her, and she'll be running and squealing, and she gets about 2 feet from whoever she's running to, and she just jumps and throws herself. Well, she's by faith accepting the fact that whoever's there is going to reach out and catch her, you know. And as adults, what we do, and this is why our child, we grow doubtful of people. Well, I know what those people do. If I jump, they're going to move, you know. And everybody's done it. You know, somebody sits down at a seat and you pull the chair out from behind them. You know, that's unfounded faith, all right. But a child has that simplistic faith. They believe in things they cannot see, okay? The second thing about faith is trusting in something that you cannot control. Faith is trusting in something you cannot control. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that I trust in, but doesn't necessarily mean I can control those things, all right? You know, we all drive automobiles, but, you know, most of us think that we're really good drivers. I'm really not a very good driver. But honestly, that is something, I mean, we can control it, and we think we can control it. I remember the story Dad always tells about him driving, we was driving combines from the farm in Lewis. We had to go all the way across 41 on the other side of 41. And I remember the story Dad was telling, you know, we were driving this combine, you know, large piece of equipment, and the back axle broke on it. And it's completely out of control. I mean, because they're your steering axles, your back axle. You know, we think we're in control, but we're not in control, to be quite honest. And, you know, a lot of times we think that was the same thing with God. We think we're in control of a lot of things in our life, but to be quite honest, we have little to no control over what happens. I mean, we don't have control over what happens physically to our lives. We don't have control over what happens in any area of our lives, to be quite honest. We have to have faith that God has control of that, those things. Here's the last thing, and I think this is a universal truth factor. Faith demands an action, and action demands faith. Now, if you think about it, I think this will prove true in your mind, just logically. In James chapter 2, let's go over there. It's one book over. We're real close. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. All right, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And this is what I was saying earlier. Every one of us exercised faith today to some degree. You know, when I went over earlier today and flipped on the thermostats and flipped on the light switches, I thought that they would turn on. And they did. Everything turned on. When I come over here and sit down, I have faith that this chair will hold me. All right? So every one of you, you sit down tonight, you had faith that that seat would hold you. Okay? So faith demands an action. And you can say all the time, well, I really believe that this is, you know, I believe that that light switch will turn on all these lights. But until you go over there and exercise your faith, it's not really faith. It's just a statement. Okay? And an action demands faith. Every action I do demands faith. Every time I sit down, you know, every time my daughter comes to me, it demands a certain amount of faith. Okay, a certain amount of faith that they believe that what the outcome, the result. Okay, Pastor Ross always had this illustration. Probably you guys could tell as well as I could, and I think it's a very good illustration of this. You know, he talked about a man having a tightrope stretched across Niagara Falls. And a lot of you are shaking your head. You remember this? And he was walking with a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, and he got to the other side, and everybody applauded. And he turned around and walked back, and across the tightrope. And then, you know, obviously there was a large crowd gathered, and he said, how many believes that I can take this wheelbarrow back across there? Well, yeah, everybody raised their hand because they just seen him do it. And what has Pastor Ross said? He always said, we'll get in the wheelbarrow. You know, that's what faith is. It's taking that step, and, you know, you say, I believe something. I believe in God. Well, how is your actions backing that belief up? Okay? We see, and like I said before, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see all of the Bible characters. And I didn't even go through all of them. I didn't get Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Moses and his folks, Joshua with the walls of Jericho, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. All right, and we go through here and we see all these illustrations of our faith, okay? And tonight I just want... Part of this is for young people, because I understand we can't see the results of everything, guys and ladies, but we have to have faith that what our pastor's telling us, the direction, and even for us all, the direction our pastor might be taking us, we have to have faith in that and believe that that's where God wants us to be, okay? And I just want to just go over a few things with you tonight about this. When I was dating Miss Rachel, you know, folks, honestly, I didn't know if I would have a happy marriage. There's no way for me to see in the future and to know I would have a happy marriage. But based on the principles of God's word, me and Brother Jared was talking about this today. You know, for every choice that we make, folks, there are consequences. For good choices, there's good consequences. For bad choices, there's bad consequences. And we have to have faith that that's true. You know, I think a lot of people, we don't believe that's true. So we think, oh, here's a bad consequence, but I believe that I live above this plane. So these bad consequences, even though I make bad choices, bad consequences won't happen to me. That's not true. All right? There is principles in the Bible that govern, okay? And when I was dating Miss Rachel, I believed, I had faith that, you know, us not touching, us not, you know, just the standard of us not being alone, okay? I had faith that those principles would produce a happy marriage, because they're based on the Bible, okay? So we need to have faith that what we believe, all right, will produce the results that we see, okay? I remember one time, And my mom should probably plug her ears on this one. I don't know if I've ever told her this. You say, Brother Chad, what is an illustration of faith in your life? Well, when I was young, I spent a lot of times out in the woods, all right? And we have this pond. It's dried up right now, obviously, so it's not that much of a pond. But we got this pond, I don't know, it's half the size of the auditorium, maybe. So it's basically, Dad calls it a $25 pond. Basically, somebody come in and he said, I'll give you 25 bucks, dig me a pond. And that's what he got. So that's basically what it is, all right? So basically all it's good for is mosquitoes and really large bullfrogs, all right? And I killed a lot of bullfrogs out of there. I really did. But this pond, you know, when I was growing up, it's one of them things where you go to someplace and it's like, wow, this is huge, all right? And then, you know, now it's like, seriously, you know? But when I was little, you know, when I was little and growing up, I mean, this pond was, I mean, that was a big deal. And for a long time, I wasn't allowed around the pond because, you know, it was a hazard to my health and, you know, I might catch malaria and drown. And so, you know, I got this pond and so eventually I decided, well, I read all these books and I read the encyclopedia, and about the only part in the encyclopedia I read was about the Native Americans, and I'd look through all their stuff that they built. I was like, I can do this, all right? So I went out and I decided I was going to build myself a raft, okay? So I went out and I cut down some trees, and you know, I'm what, 9, 10? So the biggest tree I can get is about 6 inches around and about 6 foot long, okay? Which I'm only at this point like 4 foot something, whatever. So I cut down and I accumulated a grand total of like 6 of these logs. So I mean, I've got a raft, I'm serious, it's only like this wide and about 6 feet long, okay? And this is going to be my raft. And I was like, okay. So my dog Buster, he's a brown lab, and we'd go out every day, and you know, I'm building this raft, and I'm tying it all together, and finally I push it out in the water, and it sinks. I was like, oh man, this is not good. You know, I'm supposed to be able to get across on the raft. So I was like, well, what? Modern convenience, right? You know, you got to use a little bit of primitive with a lot of modern. So I went in Dad's shed, and he's got a bunch of that 2-inch styrofoam. So I just coated that thing with 2-inch styrofoam. I mean, I put 2 inches on top. I put 2 inches on bottom. I put outriggers with styrofoam. I finally, after I put enough styrofoam on, I got this raft afloat, all right? So my step of faith, you know, I've got this raft. My step of faith comes when I get on the raft, all right? Now, this pond, I mean, granted, it's not very deep, you know, maybe 3 feet at its deepest, you know, so it's not like I'm going to, possibly, I don't know how deep it is. I've never walked across it, but now I know it's not really that deep. It's dry now, actually. You can walk across with tennis shoes on, but, you know, I didn't know. So I decided, well, there's one evening, I'm going to take my dog, and we're going to go try the raft out. It's maiden voyage, all right? So I take the raft out, and my dog, you know, he's a lab, so he can swim across back and forth all the time, and he don't care. So I get my raft out, and I shove off, and I jump on it. You know, the raft's like, so I sit down real quick. I was like, okay, I got to sit down. You know, when I first pushed it off, I made it like halfway across the pond. I was like, I got to get to the other side. Because I knew, here's the thing. I knew in about an hour or less, Mom's going to ring. We have one of those big cast iron bells. And I can hear on the back side of Dad's property. And she would ring that bell because we didn't have cell phones and stuff like that. She would ring that bell when it's supper time. So here's the deal. I got to stay dry. Otherwise, Mom finds out that I've been in the pond. So that's the whole premise here. So I'm on my raft, and I've got my, and it, you know, it actually floated. It did. I was on the raft, and it actually floated. Well, then I remembered I didn't have oars. So I was like, okay, so now what do you do? Well, luckily for me, there's a big tree hanging there, and it's got some dead limbs on it, all right? So I pull one of those dead limbs off. Well, it's not like an oar, and anybody that's ever tried to row, push yourself through mud, you know how pushing yourself through mud is? You, like, take one push forward, and then we try to pull your stick back. You go backwards again. So I'm basically in the middle of this pond, I can't go anywhere because I'm pushing my stick in to push myself forward, and then when I yank my stick back out, I go backwards again. All right? So I've exercised my faith, but my faith is kind of weak at this point. And then my dog, you know, he's a helping spirit, and he decides that he wants on the raft too. Well, I mean, my dog weighs about as much as I do when I'm at this age. You know, so he's trying to get on the raft. I'm trying to get to shore because time's running out. I mean, the dinner bell's going to ring, all right? I finally get to shore, and I jump off, and I'm dry. I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And then Mom rings the dinner bell, all right? And I go back with Buster, and, well, there's the story of my maiden voyage. Say, Brother Chad, why was that crazy story? Because there's things in our life that require a step of faith. You know, honestly, when I stepped on that raft, although that pond wasn't very deep, like I said before, things when you're younger look a lot bigger than what they really are. I didn't know how deep that pond was. Was it stupid for me to get on the raft? That could be debated very well. But it was a step of faith. Did I have fear? Yeah, especially when I pushed off and I knew that I'm out there in the middle of this little dinky pond with nowhere to go, all right? It takes a step of faith, folks. And faith isn't the absence of fear, all right? Taking a step of faith isn't saying, well, I'm not scared of anything, okay? That's not taking a step of faith. Taking a step of faith is just trusting in something, okay? And specifically what we're talking about tonight is trusting in God. Okay, and that's what taking a step of faith is. It's just stepping out on something that I don't know if it will hold me for sure or not, but by my actions, I'm going to express my faith. Okay, I don't know if that raft's going to hold me. You know, I've never had probably 90 pounds at that time. I never had 90 pounds on it, but by faith, I was hoping that this raft would hold me up. Okay, so that's what taking a step of faith is. Many times we're told the end result of many things in our lives, young people, but it requires faith to believe them. You know, we're told we need to date right, or we're told we need to dress right, and the result of these things, the result of dating right would be a happy marriage. The result of dressing right would be maybe respect. The result of keeping your body clean, just the drugs and the alcohol, it gives you a healthier body, all right? And it doesn't limit your capability of serving God. Well, by faith, we have to believe these things. Okay, and I know, young people, it's hard to take that step of faith, but it's imperative that we do that. And like our walk with God, well, preachers, all, you know, folks, you need to walk with God. You need to get up every day and spend time in His Word, spend time pray. Well, what does that do? Not only does it build your faith, which we'll see later, but it helps you live a victorious Christian life. And we're told that, all right? But for some reason, I don't believe that sometimes. I'm being transparent with you. It's people tell me things, and it's like, well, that may be true for some people, but it's not true for me. It doesn't work for me. Well, folks, it's a Bible principle. It'll work for everybody if you take that step of faith, okay? I can't make you want to have a happy marriage, be respected by others and by yourself and others, have a healthy life and family, or have a life that is victory-filled, but I believe that's what God wants for us all, and that's why He's given us principles in the Bible. So we're going to look at just a few things here, and we'll get out of here in a timely fashion. Where does faith come from? All right, we're going to answer three different questions tonight. Where does faith come from? Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to use our Bibles tonight some. Romans chapter 10. Verse number 17. This is where faith comes from. The Bible tells us straight out. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so obviously the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Okay, go over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, I'll start in verse number 18, and we'll give you kind of the story here. It says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So where does faith come from, folks? Faith, first of all, comes from hearing the word of God. But faith also comes, and this is a unique kind of faith, I believe, but faith also comes from prayer and fasting, your time with God. That's where faith comes from. Coming to church and listening to preaching, that's just not, I think, especially as young people, we come to church and we listen to preaching because we're made to, because our parents do, because that's what is expected of us, okay? But at a certain time in our lives, folks, that has to become something more real to us. That has to become something more real to each one of us. It can't just be, oh, I'm just going to church to play before church, to listen to a little bit of preaching, and then go play after church. It's not just that. It's at a certain point in our lives, this has to become a time where we can build our faith. You know, the Bible talks about, and this is, I've been thinking about this all day and some of this week, this faith where God, and it's in two or three spots where God says, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed. And everybody has heard talk about the grain of mustard seed. And in a couple of the places it says, it talks about and doubting not. And I've always wondered, wouldn't it be amazing? And I don't know if God would ever let us do it because we'd probably get a big head, or at least I would get a big head. You know, if you could just move a tree, you know, that would be kind of cool. But you'd get a big head about it, or at least I would. All right, so I think there's a certain reason God doesn't allow us to do this. But what if God allowed us to do that? All right, but this isn't a rookie faith. This is a well-seasoned faith, and it is seasoned because this has been under the preaching of God's word, and it comes by prayer and fasting. Spending time in the word of God will give us faith. That's one of the reasons it's so important for us to have our daily walk with God, for us to have that time that we spend in God's word. Okay, it's not just something that our pastor says. It's not just something that our parents say. It's something that we have to implement into our own lives. That's why we have to spend time in God's word. Okay, so that's where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the word of God and by prayer and fasting. What strengthens our faith? All right, here's a second question we're going to answer. What strengthens our faith? First thing that I believe that strengthens our faith is the application of our faith. It's the application of our faith. Using it day in, day out. Using our faith day in, day out. All right? There have been a lot of things in my life I didn't know how to do. All right, God's allowed me to work under many men that have known how to do a lot of things. And, you know, when I worked construction up down in Kentucky for a while, and Brother Ham, he's a good friend of mine, and he taught me a lot about construction. Well, he would tell me to go do something. Yeah, do what? I mean, and don't get me wrong, I worked with Brother Bo for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and Brother Bo taught me oodles of stuff about work and construction, but there it was a little bit different going to work for a professional crew. Not necessarily techniques, but terms. He would tell me to do something, and I knew how to do it maybe, but he told me how to do it some totally different way. All right, it made it go quicker. It was something that the crews did together. All right, and he taught me things. Well, there was a lot of things I didn't know how to do, but by me doing those things, it allowed me to get better at it. The more I did it, you know, the first time I sat down and to run a backhoe or a piece of equipment, you know, which I'm still not real good at it, but it was all over the place. Well, anybody knows the more you do something like that, the better you get at it. Okay, the more you run a piece of equipment, the more you exercise what you're doing. You know, there's a reason that the professional football players, that's all they do is play football, practice, practice, practice. Professional golfers, practice, 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 because it's an exercising of that, okay? They're exercising that. And the same thing is with our faith, folks. We have to exercise our faith day in and day out, okay? And we must do that. And that's the way, you know, people that work out and that, you know, trying to build their muscles, that's what they do. You know, a guy that wants to be stronger, what does he do? Exercises, works out. All right, so it's no different with us. We have to exercise our faith day in and day out, and we must realize this. And we see that in the lives of the illustrations that we were given. All right, The second thing that strengthens our faith are illustrations of faith. Not necessarily something that we've done personally. You know, I get my faith strengthened when I read the biography of George Mueller. When I read how this man had hundreds of orphans and not a stitch of food in the orphanage. And his faith, but through his faith, those children were able to eat that day. A person would bring bread to the door, would bring milk to the door. And those people, you know, my faith is strengthened by that. So, you know, I've never experienced that. I've never had to pray down food for, you know, God has provided our needs. There's never been a time when I've gone home, honestly, you know, this is how God's taken care of us. There's never been a time I've gone home and my wife said, honey, we don't have anything to eat. I've never had to experience that. But by reading about somebody else that has experienced it, it strengthens my faith. So that's some way you can strengthen your faith. And we see in the Bible, what about all those people in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that I've never gone through the things that they have. You know, I've never had to offer my child on an altar, you know, as Abraham did to Isaac. I've never had to take that step of faith, which demanded an action. All right, I've never had to take that step of faith, but my faith is encouraged through the faith of Abraham. All right, I've never had to leave, well, except when I left home to college, that was kind of the same thing. But I've never had to leave my land to go into a land which I will not tell you of, you know. It's kind of like that, I guess. But that was kind of a step of faith, all right? But I've never really had to take that step of faith. You know, at least I knew where I was going, all right? Abraham didn't even know where he was going. God just said, all right, pack up and move. Okay, Lord, I'm going. Okay, so that's a step of faith, and my faith is encouraged through that. So that's another way we can strengthen our faith, okay, is by not only by the illustrations of faith, but our application of faith, okay? Who does faith affect? This is the last question, and we'll get you out of here quickly. Who does faith affect? I believe there's two main groups of people that your faith will affect, okay? First of all is yourself. Your faith will affect yourself. Over 8 times in the Bible, it's interesting, I looked up faith, and it's like 250 times in the Bible the word faith is mentioned, but 8 times in the New Testament, Jesus said to somebody, thy faith hath made thee whole, or thy faith hath saved thee. It wasn't your pastor's faith has saved thee. You know, many times I've done this. Something happens in my life and I want to call the preacher. Hey, preacher, will you pray for me? That's great, and I think we should, because I believe the preacher has a special connection with God. But I never see in the Bible where it says your preacher's faith has saved thee or your preacher's faith hath made thee whole. Usually it was thy faith hath made thee whole or thy faith hath saved thee. It was God talking to somebody else who took that step of faith themselves, okay? And I believe there's a special power that God gives to us through our own personal faith to work things in our lives, okay? So we see that it affects ourselves. And obviously, the only other person our faith would affect would be others. Your faith will affect others, okay? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. We didn't read this one earlier. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, faith, whose faith did Moses benefit from? His own? No. His parents' faith. You know, young people, many of you right now, you're benefiting from your parents' faith. You know, I honestly, I don't believe I really started, I don't know what age I really started believing for myself. But at a certain age, you have to start believing for yourself. It's not just when you turn 18. You know, it ought to happen a lot sooner than that you ought to start believing for yourself, okay? But your faith needs to do that. But Moses' parents, they had faith. They had faith in God. You know, I can't imagine taking my little girl, which, you know, maybe under circumstances I would. But the king orders basically the execution of all the babies, and you, by faith, you think, well, I don't believe that God wants us to do this. I don't believe that God wants us to give our baby up. So by faith, you take a step of faith and build an ark of bulrushes and tar it and pitch it and put your baby in there and send it down the river, the Nile River at that. You know, it's not just like the Wabash where your biggest threat's a snapping turtle, all right? I mean, this is the Nile River. It's crocodiles. I'm being serious. This is a step of faith. Did it have fear involved? Yeah. I mean, I can't. If I had to do that, I'd be scared, okay? But it did take a step of faith. But Moses was the one that benefited from it. Folks, when was the last time you took a step of faith, not just for you, but for your kids or for, you know, your family or for your bus kids or for your Sundays? When was the last time you took a step of faith, not just for you, but for somebody else? You took that step of faith for them, okay? So that's something that we need to do, is we need to take a step of faith, not just for ourselves, but for others. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. I don't think that's the one I want. I'm not real sure why I wrote that one down. It has nothing to do with it. I'll tell you the story anyway. But I was trying to find the place where, remember when the four friends brought their friend, the palsied man, and they ripped the roof apart and they lowered their palsied friend down to Jesus? The Bible doesn't say that his faith, that the friend's faith made him whole. It said the friend, it didn't say that the palsied, I'm sorry, I didn't word that right. It didn't say the palsied man's faith made him whole. It said his friend's faith made him whole. I wonder, and I don't know, wonder how, if people, the Bible says we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith, all right? And that not of ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wonder if our faith, how instrumental our faith is in somebody else being saved. You know, they have to take a certain amount of faith, a certain step of faith themselves. But is our faith largely in a part of their salvation? You know, bus workers, you take a step of faith when you bring those people to church every Sunday. Your faith is a part of their faith. Okay, your faith is taking that step and saying, by faith, I'm going to go out and pick these kids up. You know, I may have to sit with them in church, all right? I may have to go home and tell their parents they can't come for a couple weeks. You know, I have to get up at 6 and leave at 7 in the morning to go pick these kids up. Everything that you do, you're taking that step of faith, but it's a step of faith that is helping their faith to grow. Okay, so we can't forget that. You know, the palsy man, the Bible says he was made whole from his friend's faith, not his own faith. We saw several times where it was their own faith, but not this man. It was his friend's faith. Okay, so maybe your faith is helping your friends. All right, maybe your faith is helping others. Hebrews 11, sorry, I should have had you go to Hebrews first on that one. Hebrews chapter 11, this will be one of the last ones we go to. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I think Rahab, I've kind of wanted to do a study on Rahab sometime, but, you know, Rahab had an amazing, a unique faith, I might say, because Rahab was different than most of these others in that Rahab is what we would consider a heathen. Rahab wasn't one of the children of Israel. You know, up to this point, the children of Israel, they had seen the works of God in Egypt. They had seen how God had led them across the Red Sea. You know, they're at Jericho at this point. All right? And they had seen those things. But Rahab, she had never seen the works of God before. She had no illustrations of that we have, like we have, of faith that she could reference to. So Rahab, I believe Rahab's faith was a little bit different than the other's faith, okay? But Rahab, do you know what her faith saved? Her faith saved her whole family. Remember what the spies told her? They said, hang this scarlet cord out the window. I want you to bring any family member into your house. Any family member that you want to save. Anybody that was in that house would be saved. Anybody that was standing outside the door taking a smoke or whatever they were doing. Serves them right, you know. All right? You know, those people that were not inside the house, they were killed. Rahab's faith saved her family. And I don't even know, you know, the Bible never says what happened really to Rahab after that. It just says that her family was saved. Okay? Folks, faith is much more than just a word that we toss around in church all the time. Faith is an action. Faith is reality. It's an unseen reality. It's an untouched reality. But it's a substance, as Hebrews said, it's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? And we have to believe in that faith. Let me ask you this question, and we'll kind of finish up with this thought. Actually, two thoughts. I said this earlier, but faith is not the absence of fear. All right? And we see all these people in Hebrews. You know, I think Moses' parents were afraid when they sent him out. You know, I think Rahab, when she was waiting in there and the Israelites were coming, I think maybe in her heart, what if they don't keep their word? What if? But she still was willing to take that step of faith, okay? Folks, I'm not saying don't be afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid right now. But you got to take a step of faith, all right? But you got to take that step of faith, okay? And it's not the absence of fear. You know, when Abraham was walking up that mountain with his son Isaac, getting ready to sacrifice him, I taught him that in children's church two weeks ago. That's just an amazing thought to me, how that he can just take his son up and even have the knife out ready to kill his son. That's amazing faith. And I think in his heart, Abraham, I think he was broken. I don't know that, but I think he was. I don't see how he couldn't be. It was his only legitimate son at this point was Isaac, all right? And, you know, I don't see how he couldn't be fearful. Or Gideon, how could he not be fearful taking 300 men against innumerable as the sand of the sea? How could he not be fearful? And that's one thing I think maybe is, and even in our faith, our human faith that we have, there's just a little twinge of doubt. I just wonder what, I think the faith that Jesus was talking about, the time that would move a mountain and throw it into the sea, and the kind that would pick up a tree, I wonder if that's the faith that has no doubt at all in it. And I don't think I could ever have that faith, to be quite honest. You know, when we pray for big days around here, this is what I pray, and this is carnal, so forgive me. You know, we prayed for 500, be 10501 on 5-01. You know, what did I pray? You know, you don't want to look bad if something doesn't happen. So you say, Lord, we want to have 500, but thy will be done. Thy will be done is the most doubting statement there probably is. All right? You know, we pray for rain. Lord, we want rain. Please give us rain. But, Lord, you know what's best for us. Okay? I'm being transparent with you. Why? Because I have a little bit of doubt that it's going to rain. You know what I mean? All right, and I think at least in me, that's true. You know, I pray for healing for people, and I understand that God does have a divine plan. God does have a certain purpose. God does let certain people go, or be sick, or go through certain afflictions, have a thorn in the flesh. But at the same time, you know, I think sometimes we're too willing to say, "But Lord, you know what's best," instead of just, as the old timers called it, praying through, instead of just having the faith to take that next step and say, Lord, I believe. And if you think about it in your life, I think you might agree with me. It's hard to have a complete faith. Yeah. Even when, remember when Peter stepped out on the water? He had the most faith of all of them, and he, for a moment, he did a miraculous thing that no one has ever done before. He walked on water. But what happened? Then he seen the storms, and he started to doubt. And that's when he started to sink. That's when the miraculous stopped, is when they started doubting. So what is our faith? What's our faith? I guess tonight is, where's our faith at? I know my faith personally, it needs to grow a lot. But ask yourself, I'm not judging anybody, but where's your faith at tonight? You know, at what point does it need to grow? Are you at the pinnacle of faith? Can you move mountains and throw them in the sea? I don't know if anybody can be there, but I'd sure like to get close. I'd sure like to be able to pray and be praying for somebody to be saved. And God just says, well, their faith, just like the palsied man's friend's faith, because of their faith, I'll save them. They'll still have to take a step of faith, but because of their faith. Wouldn't it be neat if my faith could do that for somebody else? Wouldn't it be neat if my faith could, you know, when my baby girl gets bigger, if my faith could help carry her through certain parts of her life, okay? So it's not just about us. So who is relying on, I guess another question I want to ask you tonight, who's relying on your faith? Not everybody, you know, it's, you may have people relying on your faith that you don't even know about. So who is relying on your faith? And what can we do to build our faith? I guess that's the challenge tonight. What can we do to build our faith? You know, I gave you some principles by reading your Bible, by prayer and fasting, illustrations, application. Those things all build our faith. But it's up to you what you do with it. All right? Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this night, Lord. Lord, it's been a real simple Bible study, Lord, more of a challenge than anything. Lord, I pray that you'd help our faith to grow. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Lord, help it not to just be a word that we toss around in our Christian circles, Lord, but help it to be a true thing in our lives. Lord, help us to take a step of faith, even though we may be scared. Lord, help us to take a step of faith, not just for ourselves, but for others. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your salvation that's available to us through faith. We thank you for that. We pray that you just have your will and way in everything that's done tonight. And just pray that you were glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.